It is March 27th, 8 a.m. This is the GNSO Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group in the Sophia Room.
Good morning, this is Heather Forrest.
Greetings, welcome. This is Mikey in the room, and I have no idea what time it is, but it's probably time to start, huh? Oh, it's after the hour. Well, there you go. I'll leave the mic open so that you can hear something so it's not totally blank, but we're sort of waiting for a few people to show up. We're all a bit groggy. This is the last morning of a long week, and it's pretty early in the morning here, so.
I can hear it. No worries. That's fine.
Okay. I suppose we could just start. You know, it's probably not going to be a whole lot more people. Natalie, do we need to do the honors on the recording and all that? Who's doing that kind of stuff? Oh, you're doing that. Go for it. Okay. So we're recording. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. If you live on the moon, whatever time, I mean, my body has decided that it doesn't need sleep. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group. My name's Mikey O'Connor. I'm one of the co-chairs. And we're getting off to an early start here in Singapore. And I've been so busy chatting up my co-chairs and the folks in the room, I don't have my Adobe room open. I'm clueless about the agenda, but why don't we take a moment, and Barry, if you could help me out and read the agenda and let people digest it a little bit while I... do we have slides rolling? Lars, do you have... Can you roll it one forward, maybe? Oh, there we go. Okay. So we haven't got it. We're going to go through...
Forgive me.
Go ahead.
This is Heather. They put me into the wrong conference.
Pardon me? Can you say that again a little bit slower? The room has somewhat unclear sound, so that was just too fast for my ears. Try again.
I say I apologize. It appears that the remote dial-in folks have put me into the wrong conference.
Ah. Well, it was lovely having you while you were here. And you can stay if you want. We're a very open group, but you probably will find it a little bit boring. So, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you the next time.
I think they expect me to lead the thing that I'm in, so I better abandon you.
Okay. Thanks for joining us even a little bit.
Thanks. Bye.
Barry, why don't you hit it on the agenda and take us through statements of interest and all that good stuff, and I'll catch up.
Great. Thank you, Mikey. This is Barry Cobb with ICANN staff. So our agenda is a little light for today, but in general, we'll kick off with a roll call of members, update any statements of interest. Then Mikey will take us through a quick introduction to the session. Then we'll kind of dive into some of the, within this presentation that we have for set up here today, is review some of the details of the working group charter and discuss, you know, what our basically next steps and our approach is going to be over the next couple of months. And then lastly, we'll just kind of have a general discussion about the working group activities and, like I said, next steps. And I don't think we have enough members to discuss what our meeting schedule will be like, but towards the end, we'll have just a brief update on when our next meeting will be, probably in about 2 weeks or so.
Thanks, Barry. We have the unusual luxury of being here face-to-face, so instead of doing a roll call the way we usually do, why don't we just work our way around the room and put names and faces together? That's one of the big opportunities of a meeting like this. We often know each other for years without knowing what we look like. So, Pam, why don't you kick us off on that?
Thanks, Mikey. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pam Little. I work for Zodiac Registry, which has recently become a registry operator. We apply for a number of strings. I'm representing the registry stakeholder group on this working group and look forward to working with everybody, and nice to meet you all face to face.
Hi, my name's Jay Daly. I'm the chief exec of the .nz registry. So I'm not a member of the working group possibly yet. Mikey and I were speaking yesterday, and data is an increasing part of my business, and we always think it's nice to have people from the CC community come along to these things. So he invited me along. Thanks.
Okay, Klaus Stoll, NPOC, NCSG, and your friendly GNSO liaison.
Jonathan Zook from ACT, and also a member of the intellectual property constituency and co-chair of the working group.
Long-suffering co-chair. This is Mikey O'Connor. I'm another co-chair. I'm in the ISP constituency. And depending on how you count, I think Barry and I have been working on this for 130 years, haven't we? Something like that.
I'm Rudy Van Snick, NPOC, and another co-chair.
And as mentioned earlier, Barry Cobb with ICANN staff, and yes, to Mikey's point, this topic has been around for quite a while, since 2010, and around October of last year is when we finally got the acknowledgement to start chartering and establishing the working group in January of this year, so we're still just taxiing on the runway, but we'll get things flying here soon.
Hello, everybody. My name is Nenad Orlic. I come from Serbia. I'm from ISP in Serbia, and this is a subject that I'm very interested in, so I came to see what's going on.
We'll do the secret ISP handshake afterwards. That'd be great.
Hi, I'm Graham Bunton from Two Cows. When not doing a small amount of policy for Two Cows, my main job is running our business intelligence department. So this is an issue that's very close to my heart. And I have a particular bee in my bonnet about this ICANN, so pretty interested to see what's going on here. And I have not formally joined the working group yet, but I suspect that's in the cards.
Hi, I'm Caleb, also from Two Cows. I'm based here in Singapore, and this is my first working group, so please be kind on me. I generally handle our reseller relationships here in Asia, and I'm based in Singapore.
Hi, my name's Jeremy Beale. I'm an independent consultant, and I've done sort of metrics and data compilation for ICT and internet. Based services at the OECD, in the UK government, and also in the investment banking sector. And I'm not a member of the group as yet, and Mikey just persuaded me the other night over a few drinks that I should come along, so I can still run away, hopefully.
Yeah, you may think you can run away, but I have his business card. He's not getting away. David, you want to chime in? I think, I'm sorry, I went right by Lars. And then you can stay in the chairs, it's perfectly safe, but do walk up to the table and punch on the mic and just let us know who you are so that I can tell whether I want to recruit you. So while Lars is talking, come on, get up to the table. Don't be sitting there like you think I'm crazy, otherwise I'll go and get the mobile mic and stick it in your face. So.
And this is Lars Hoffman from ICANN staff. I'm supporting Barry on this working group.
All right. We have one gentleman who's already made the move. Go ahead.
Steve Chan, also ICANN staff.
There we go.
Hello, I'm Rory Kelly from Nominata.uk registry.
Cool. Oh, you know, for all of the ranting that I did at the GNSO meeting, we've suddenly got lots of contracted parties and registries here. It's really cool. David, go ahead.
David Cake from non-commercial from Electronic Frontiers Australia and also Curtin University. And I'm a GNSO counselor and pretty interested in this stuff. So
I think we've got everybody covered. Thanks, Steve, for putting up with all the rumpus. But I've missed one?
Mikey, just for the record, we also have Paul Redman in the AC room from ICANN Contractual Compliance. I'm not sure if he's dialed into the phone bridge or not, but just for the record.
Paul, are you on the bridge? Silence. Yeah, probably not.
I'd also just like to apologize to our newly joined first working group from Singapore. We are seldom kind to people in this time zone.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about you and Pam, who routinely are on our calls at some ungodly hour in the morning, and you're probably just chortling with glee that you're in your native time zones, or at least close to it. Oh, Sebastian's here. We're just doing our introductions. You can sit down and punch on a mic then we'll get underway. You know, this is way better than I thought it was going to be. This is outstanding. Yeah.
You see, Mikey.
Yeah, go ahead, Lars.
See, this is the argument for the early meeting. Like yesterday, RTP at 10:30, we had nobody.
Yeah, we had crickets. It was 10:30 in the morning. We thought we'd break the long tradition of having IRTP meetings at dawn, and nobody showed up. Sebastian? We're just doing around-the-room introductions.
Sébastien Bachelet, for those who doesn't know me, I am still board member for two more meetings, and I was selected by at-large. And if I can be of any help, I will try. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. Okay, I think we're set. Here's sort of the thought that I had in mind, and I'm counting on my co-chairs to put rails on me if I do something really crazy and stupid. But we basically have two slides of charter questions, and it seemed to me that the best use of this time would be to just brainstorm our way through those charter questions today, not put a whole lot of limits on the discussion, raise wild ideas, issues, concerns, whatever. Normally, on a call when we're on the wire, I would be scribing it in front of you with a mind map, but I've found that when I try to do that in a live meeting, there's too much going on and I lose track, so I'll scribe it out of the transcript. But that was the thought, is, you know, for those of you who've been on working groups with me before, this is one of those ones where we come up with crazy-looking notes, and that turns out to be something really handy down the line. So the first slide is really more advertisement than charter question, but this is the reason that Barry Cobb and I have been working on this for 130 years, is that what we're really going after here is this underpinning, this foundational thing of fact-based policymaking. And it's really tough to do that without facts. So that's what this group is all about. It's primarily oriented towards facts and data for GNSO policymaking. And Jonathan, I don't know if I want to take you into the other working group that you're working on for metrics, but you can chime in on that when I finish my little spiel if you want. So that, you know, the next two are pretty straightforward, and one of the reasons that I'm so pleased to see contracted parties and registries from the CC community here is that a lot of this data is going to come, hopefully, from you, and we need to figure out a way to do that doesn't drive you crazy. It seems to me that that's probably the key focal point of this, is to figure out a graceful way to get useful data out of organizations that clearly have limits on how much of that they can share and how much of it they want to share. And the good news is that we ran into this problem in the DNS security and stability analysis working group that I co-chaired, I don't know, a year or two ago. And we've got a protocol that we wrote for that, that, you know, I'm not going to preview it today, but when we get to that issue, we've got some pretty good work done already. We aren't going to be starting that from a clean slate. So for those of you who are coming here to defend your data, don't panic. It's not as bad as it might be, because we've already had a lot of that discussion on the DNS data side, and I'll be curious to see if the protocol's good enough for you all. But I'm acutely aware that that's an issue, and it's going to be a big part of the discussion. And then the other half of this, along with, you know, the policy part, is clearly the implementation side. You know, it's also good to have facts to underpin that sort of thing. So, Lars, if you bump us to the next slide, here we go into the questions. And this, there's eight questions. This is the first half. I'll take us through those. Just to give you the list, Jay, can you? You're on the Adobe room, so you can see these. Okay, because we could turn this monitor. So basically, this is the first half, and then there's a comparable set of four more questions. So as you read these, the reason I want to run through them all in a hurry is so that you know which buckets to throw which comments into. But as I said, this is a very free-flowing brainstorming session. You know, don't feel like you have to be terribly precise, because I'll pull the documentation of this out of the transcript. The first one is a question that sounds kind of existential, especially for me at this hour in the morning. But, you know, you do have a sort of chicken and egg problem, and that is, which comes first? And I think that the answer that is my favorite is the consultant's standard answer, which is it depends. And I think one of the things that we want to do in the working group, it's putting a dime on the table. Oh, I thought maybe you were buying me off. I'm so disappointed. I got a dime from Klaus Stoll. It's pretty slick. Sorry, but I'm running on little enough sleep that I'm really easily distracted, Klaus. Oh, okay, great. So anyway, the interesting question to brainstorm about this is, how can we tell which comes first? And is there anything useful we can tell the community about that? The next one is sort of a leftover. There's a long history, which I won't repeat, but there is sort of another piece to this charter that talks about the people who are coming in to essentially solve a problem, you know, and this is sort of left over from that. So it's not a very data-oriented one, and I think I'm going to leave that one with that for now. The next one is, you know, how to better inform the GNSO policy development process, but that's the narrowing down. The title of the working group implies broader brackets. This is really oriented towards the GNSO policy process, but to the extent that this kind of data would be useful elsewhere, you know, for example, in the CCs, terrific. And I don't think that there's any issue in sort of nudging this in directions that make it more useful for the CCs, for example.
Yeah, I'm one of those CCs that thinks the GNSO-CCO split, CCNSO split, is entirely artificial, and that the things that we are talking about have so much in common, like who is, for example, or name collision, or dotless domains or any of those things. I mean, they affect all of us, and the idea that CCs somehow aren't is just silly. So, yeah, no, I understand that it is for the just intended for GNSO policy development, but I think over time that's going to impact on CCs far more.
Go ahead, John.
I don't want to disrupt your flow, Mike.
I'm sorry. I've been up really late, and I'm not at my peak. So, Jonathan and Rudy, if you want to do some sort of a launch speech, go ahead after John.
Well, I don't know if I have a launch speech, there's two broadly components to this. One is, as I think Mikey described, the idea of access to data, but the other, I think, is trying to begin to establish a culture of data-driven decision-making. And that's really the broader question. In other words, when a working group is convened, is there an expectation that they will be using data whenever possible, or at least, factual information as a means of determining what their path forward should be? And when they develop a path forward, will they have an expectation that the results of that new policy will be measured down the road using the similar data, updated data as a result, so that we can see if the decisions they made for the purposes of fixing something actually fixed it? And I mean, this almost seems tautological to say, but I mean, that culture has been largely absent here at ICANN, and that's what excites me most about this. I consider the idea of how to get access to data, et cetera, a challenge to be overcome, and something to be finessed, and to make sure that the interests are aligned when that happens, and to make sure we don't step on toes or create competitive disadvantage and things like that. But the real underlying issue here is getting the GNSO to data-driven decision-making and data-driven review of those decisions. I mean, so that we can make course corrections if, in fact, whatever we put in place to fix the problem isn't fixing it. And I appreciate your comment about the distinction between CCNSO and the GNSO. And the other thing that's delightfully fun about this is it should be largely non-controversial, right? We're not setting policy. At best, I think we're creating a toolkit of worksheets. How should you define your problem when you go in? There's nothing that's going to be blessed here or imposed on anyone or anything like that. But maybe we can begin by through the creation of a tool set to begin to change that culture. And I think that's what's most exciting about it. So there's literally nothing here that would prevent the CCNSO to use these tools, because we're not going to be setting controversial policy or having controversial policy debates. I mean, what's exciting here is everybody's really just having a brainstorming activity about how best to facilitate that change in culture. And I think that's what's really exciting about this particular working group, is that we can set politics aside and really focus on process.
I love politics. Go for it. Start some politics.
No politics. Rudy, for the record. Well, being a co-chair of a PDP working group, translation and transliteration, we are needing a lot of data. And it's clear that it is not very used in, I would say, in the whole ICANN. Admit that data is exchanged between different constituencies, which makes it very often difficult to gather the right information and take the right decision. And I think this working group is a perfect platform to bridge what is needed for good policy taking, for good policy making, for drafting right recommendations across the constituencies. Because ICANN is not just a number of silos, but it's a complexity of structures that has to work together, and especially with the decision of the NTAI, we have to demonstrate that we are not silos, but really a big group, a team that works together, whatever our mission is. And I think that this is the perfect occasion to for this working group to enter into this debate.
Thanks, Rudy. I'm going to shortstop Sebastian, so hang on just a second. One thing I forgot to mention is that this is not a PDP working group. This is a non PDP working group. In other words, we are not going to set consensus policy in here. And that, I'm just amplifying something that Jonathan mentioned in passing, but it dawned on me that we have new folks in the room, so I just wanted to hit that. Sebastian, on to you.
Yes, thank you. First of all, when Mikey talked about that yesterday, about your meeting, I was, in my mind, putting together this working group at the working group where Jonathan is sharing about the data we need to collect about the new GTLDs. And I still...
That was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, we've changed everything.
And I'm if it's helpful, I can talk about the difference between the two.
Yeah, but my yeah, you will. It will be useful. But I want to express my. In fact, I have the impression that you have tweaked the topic to enter within the GNSO need to do something. My impression, Mikey, is that what I can need. It's how I can handle data, full stop. And when I say that, I have some historical non-data record. I want just to share with you. I hope I will not be too long. But yeah, 2000, first round of the new GTLD, 7 new GTLD. Evaluation process, and we say we need data, there are no data. Then the decision is taken to add in this test bed 3, it's under up to 10, STLD, S for sponsor TLD, at that time it was the name, and we were supposed to gather data with those 10 TLD coming to the route, what was the implication for the route, and so on and so forth. I was at that time in charge of the process to gather what we need for the evaluation, and we explained what we will need as data for the next round. It's never happened. Then we are with a new round of GTLD, now blind, because we don't have data from the previous round, then it's very important that we gather data about this specific issue with the new GTLD. But frankly speaking, we may find useful to have data with the new IDN CCTLD. We need to have data with, and so on and so forth. And my point is that in gathering data, we may know what we are looking for, but we may find something else. And then, if we can find a way to gather data already taken or organized by CC, errors, root server operators, IXP, or whatever, and be able to have them in why we are not there to be used by others. Maybe we will find nuggets in that. But if we start saying, okay, I want this data because maybe it will be useful for that, from my point of view, we will miss the next data who will not be useful for that, but for something else, but nobody knows now. Then I all for your working group, but I would like so much to have this becoming a non-PDP global ICANN data, what we can do, how we can open the data in this organization. It's written in the strategic, there's some word on that on one of the strategic panel. Just, okay, that's a good idea, take it and just deliver. I was with someone yesterday at dinner, and he explained to me how we gather data for political party in one country using tweet to know what will be the result of the elections. I don't know, but I will never thought about putting those type of things together to get a result. Then he may have some very good idea, some good tools, to gather data that we don't know what we will take out of that. Then it's why I am, since years, all for open data in this organization, and the community will figure out what to do with, and will come with maybe something or things that we are not even able to elaborate today, because it will be the result of the data search. That's the reason I came here to give you that. Now we will do what you want. I am not here as a board member to say you need to do that, but it's my dream that one day we will be able to handle the data. Just an anecdote. When I try to know, can you tell me how many registrars there is in Africa? If you know, you can tell me a number, but in the ICANN database, maybe it's another number. But how you can search about that? Today you have a like PDF list, unsearchable, uncopyable, and you can't put it in an Excel sheet, and it's very, very complicated. And then it's almost impossible to have this answer except to go to Pierre Danginou and ask him, and I am not even sure that he will have the right answer at the right time. Then it's all that we need to be able to change, not to talk about the financial data, who could be also useful one day. I hope I was not too long, and thank you for listening, and I hope the best for your group.
All I can say is hallelujah. All I can say is hallelujah. I mean, I feel like every meeting I go in, I end up making the same point that you're making. I mean, when Maggie came to head up compliance here at ICANN, was just a few years ago, the compliance database was a folder in Outlook. I mean, when I found that out, I almost fainted, right? I mean, that was a fairly mature organization at 3 years ago, and to have a folder in Outlook be the way that we maintain data about the entire compliance operation of the organization, to me, was an unmitigated travesty. I mean, it was the height of ridiculousness. And so I agree that we need to find ways to insert data into almost every aspect of this organization. The other effort that's going on with respect to data is actually directly a function of the affirmation of commitments, requirement for a review team to assess whether or not the new GTLD program had resulted in an increase in consumer trust and in competition and choice in the TLD marketplace. And so Bruce Tonkin put a proposal before the board at Cartagena about let's actually try to use this as an opportunity to dip our toe into the world of metrics, and established a working group to come up with data sources that would be useful for that review team when it convenes, which is probably in about a year, 18 months from now, and what the potential uses of that data might be. And so the part that was most controversial about that exercise is there was some value judgments associated with, an increase in this metric is a good thing and a decrease in this metric is a bad thing, et cetera. And that's where the nature of a lot of the discussions came from. And it's a very imperfect exercise, right? I mean, we could suggest that if the new GTLD program is dominated entirely by defensive registrations, then it's probably not a good thing. But how you actually determine if a registration is defensive is pretty difficult. But one of them is looking at whether or not it's just pointers instead of a new site, et cetera. So those are the kinds of conversations that took place. And so we're now in the implementation phase of that, and that will result in the collection of data so that it's available at the time of the review, and some recommendations for how that data might be treated. It'll ultimately be up to that review team to make a decision which of those data sets to use and what numbers to associate with them, but at least the historical data will be in place at the point at which that review process begins. And to me, that's an enormous change over the past and a good step in the right direction.
I just wanted to add one thing. I hope that it's not just will be the review team who will put the hand in the data. But the other thing is that do you get in your work any inputs from what was the data gathered after the first round of TLD in 2000?
This is the reason I'm not taking notes live, because I'm going to take notes off this transcript, because there are all sorts of nuggets like that that we will pick up, because it's a terrific idea. I've got a little bit of a cue. I'm going to go here first, and then to Chris, and then to Amr. Anybody else? David? Anybody else? Holy mackerel. Go ahead while I figure this out, David.
Hi. For the record, Jeremy Beale again. I'm just addressing that first point there. I'm not sure it's such a, dichotomy as it's presented there. As you said, Mikey, it depends. But it depends really on the question, or the way I've always, had to go about it, is it depends on the questions you're asking. And in terms of the policy process, wouldn't it be possible to sort of go through the policy process and just sort of say, okay, are there standard kinds of questions for which you need standard kinds of data in that process? Just map that out so that you know, and then you can just see, is that data available, or what would be specified for the kind of data that you would need for that? Then you look at the kind of questions that are more variable depending upon the actual nature and content of the specific piece of policy, or the categories of different kinds of policy, and map out data that is either available for that, or that where there isn't data available, where you might be able to develop proxies. Because if you have proxies, the advantage of proxies is everyone wants to challenge them. And because you say, this is the data that we've been able to find from these X, Y, and Z sources, which aren't direct but indicate what the answer might be. People who have data then sort of say, well, we don't quite think it's that. It might be in this kind of ballpark instead. So it's quite useful as an indicative exercise. And then you might then be able to develop the relationships with people based upon confidentiality that they would in future provide data anonymously. But at least it gives you an opening for that. I think that would be just very useful, but I also think that's useful to address the kind of sort of more general issues about ICANN and its databases, because from my experience, there's actually quite a lot of data, but generated both by ICANN, by registries, registrars, etc., but it isn't standardized, and we don't really know what the relationship a lot of the time is, or where the overlaps are, and is it addressing the same thing. But maybe we should do some kind of, or get ICANN staff to do some kind of a mapping exercise of the databases that exist, what they cover, and then we could look at them and say what would be useful in terms of the schema I just mentioned. And that includes, I should say, the OECD. I mentioned this to Mikey the other night. The OECD has a statistical working party on internet and ICT-related issues, and it might be possible when we've identified the nature of the problem that we want to look at or that we think needs addressing and the kind of data that is needed to address that we could ask them to, or ask various members in the GAC if they could get the OECD to take a look at it. And dare I also say at the ITU, which the OECD in its data collection often works very closely with, they leave all the politics aside and just sort of say, well, this is the data we have and what the data that you can get from developing countries. So that might be hopefully a useful way of going forward.
Being a bit housekeeping co-chair, please state your name before you speak. It would make it easier when we're going through the transcript.
I love this group. Chris, go ahead.
This is Chris Gift with ICANN staff. I'm very, very pleased that I came to this working group because about 9 months ago, staff had the idea of beginning to work on open data. You know, we do have a lot of staff collects a lot of data from a lot of different points in the community. Whether it's compliance data, other data. And, we wanted the concept, which is much as Sebastien had discussed and much was, the strategy panel also brought up, was we really ought to put that up in a machine-readable form, publicly accessible by anybody, so that they can use it for whatever means that they need it, to do research, for working groups like yourself to use the data for analysis. For work reasons, just we had too much on our plate. We put that aside for several months. But we recently picked it back up because of a lot of reasons. We're beginning to have a little bit of bandwidth. B, it's very important, as you'd pointed out, for accountability and transparency, that having this open data is vital. So we're literally just picking this work back up. And to be frank, I'd very much like leadership from this working group, because I think it would be a perfect fit for you to tell us, well, A, what kind of data do you want? How should it be accessible? Well, the whole project, in other words. So would very much welcome that. Thank you.
I love it when a plan comes together. I want to head back to Jeremy's point just a minute. I rolled the slides because as you were talking, I wanted to get to the second half of our charter questions, because a lot of what you're talking about is in this second half. One of the things that we really want to do is tune the policy development process a little bit, because that's a malleable thing. I mean, you know, the PDP is not set in stone, and the GNSO has mechanisms to tweak that process to accommodate both the collecting side and the defining side of the data process in various parts of its work. So let me just hit these. I'm short-stopping the queue, and I apologize for that, but let me just hit these real quick because we're having a terrific conversation, and I don't want to slow you down. But the second half, and they're in front of you now, is this business of how do working groups go out when they need new information? How do they, you know, this is, the next one is to Graham's, or I manufactured Graham's problem, but, you know, the issue of confidentiality, we need to handle that. You know, the distribution framework is right down your alley. And then the last one is the one that I wanted to highlight, which is how do we wire this into the process so that we're back to, you know, not a one-time thing, but it's wired into the culture. So I just want to do an advertisement for that. And now I think, Amr, you're next. And then it's David, and then it's you, and then it's Graham. Anybody else want to get in the queue? I was thinking it was going to be crickets today. This is terrific. Who? What? You're pointing at somebody, but they don't have their hand. Who's? Okay, carry on. Sorry.
Thanks. This is Amr El-Sad from the Non-Commercial Stakeholder Group. I think this non-PDP working group is a terrific idea. And I would like to make a few comments. I think one, especially on the mechanisms list present in your charter, also mentioned not just internal data internal to ICANN, but also external. And I cannot stress the importance of that. And what we've seen recently is the commissioning of some studies, and I personally think those are great. This is the sort of evidence-based that we need to base policy development on, and perhaps not take it blindly, but I mean, I'm from a healthcare background, and we love evidence-based medicine. And I think the same could be applied to policy development in the GNSO. But the word mechanism is very important here, and I think Jeremy touched upon that, because data is collected for a specific reason if you're going to use it in a specific context. So the mechanisms used to collect data, whether externally or internally, and how it's used needs to be defined. And this is the mechanism that this working group, I feel, needs to really work out. The mechanisms by which they are collected, which means the terms of reference of any study conducted. We have two WHOIS studies that have recently been published, and the community has had a chance to look over. The working group that Rudy mentioned a little earlier, the translation and transliteration of contact information, is also looking at a study on available solutions to display internationalized registration data or contact information. So this stuff is really great, but the community needs to be involved in the terms of reference of how this data is going to be collected, how it's going to be used, and there needs to be a mechanism on how these studies will be analyzed, critically analyzed, whether from a qualitative or quantitative perspective. Because this is the nature of research and the use of data in its different forms. There's no one study that will ever get everything right. And it's usually an iterative process of study after study after study. And the more you conduct these, the more informed the community will be on the evidence available to support policy development. And I'd like to wish you all a lot of luck. I'm not on this working group, but I will try to pay attention to it. And I think you guys can do some really great work, so thank you.
There's room for more. There's plenty of room. We'll make
not on my schedule.
Okay. Let's see. I've got David, and then you, and then Graham, and we are coming up on the top of the hour, so there's a little room. If anybody wants to get a last word. Oh, and Barry wants to get in. Anybody else? Okay, so David, go.
Yeah, Ashley, I was going to mention the, Arma mentioned the evidence-based medicine movement, and I remember hearing about that many years ago and going, well, that sounds like a great idea. Hey, wait a second, what are you doing now? And this idea, the moving to really trying to inject a lot more data into policy as we go forward is a great idea. But also, hopefully, I think it was Jonathan first started talking about the, you know, cultural change is what we've got to drive here about. We've got to make sure that there, you know, the data is just there and you don't need to, you know, go through, start collecting it, start trying to see if it can be collected and what the process of that would be every single time. We've got to get the open data culture is something we should have. One of my, woman I know back in Australia, named Pia War, I've been trying to get her involved in internet governance stuff, and she says, well, I want to, but I'm got to finish my current project, and her current project is converting the culture of the entire Australian federal government to open data. And she's on track for that one. She's on track for that one, so she is the sort of person you want when you get things done. And a lot of what she's doing is convincing them that you don't have to make the case for why the data should be there. You have to make a case where it shouldn't be. You if you've got it, try and put it out there in a useful format, collect it, and people will find things to do with it. She runs a thing called GovHack where she just sits and gets a bunch of hackers together and says, look, we've got all this data sets. Make me something, you know, make things that are cool. And I don't think we're maybe a little way off. We're quite a way off that in ICANN, but getting a bunch of data sets that are just there that might come in useful in a place where we can all find them would be really, really a big step forward, I think. So
this is off to a hell of a start. Carry on.
Hello, this is Nena Dorlic speaking. Well, first of all, it's good that this is on PDP group in terms of outside pressure, but in fact, we're talking about change of culture and so on. Culture something has to be enforced, and I don't see how you will evade forming a policy in the end. Not maybe of this working group, but it will have to recommend some policy that will be implemented throughout the whole organization.
Let me just jump in, because we do have language in the charter about that. In that, what
okay,
may
I've
happen
seen it. I
is
read
that
it, and I've seen it.
Yeah.
And I,
so if that
already
happens,
on the start, I can see it happening. So.
Right. No, but the point is that this working group will not make policy, and
yeah, okay.
It is specifically constituted yeah. that way. If it so turns out that policy is needed, or we think it's needed, we will then launch a policy process.
I understand it. Like I say, end result of this will have to be a policy if we are talking about all the constituencies applying this sort of behavior in policymaking and benchmarking. The other thing I would like to say is how to also don't see, I don't know if there is a special unit or operational unit in ICANN staff or anything that's in charge of collecting and processing data. Because if you want to collect data from the outside, I think it will have to be done through a single point of contact, because if somebody comes to Tukaus and asks for data, oh, we're from this working group, we're from here, we're here. I think it will need to go to a single point of contact for this. And I think that there's also we need to see, are there any institutional, other institutional organizations like Statistical, National Statistical, or Eurostat that are constituents that we can cooperate with and maybe help them help us by instructing them what they, which data they should collect in that could be used here. And also the process, for example, in my company, everything is recorded, everything, from the conversations, what users does, everything. We collect everything. But the problem is that current problem that we have now is that all of that data is in usable, searchable format, especially, for example, for sales. We know what every customer said and what he did and what he wants, but we don't have it in a format that's easily usable. So somebody said data is already here. Yes, but just the process of changing the format of the data and translating it into something useful is huge. Just that one part. So this is not a small task group. The task that's on this group is substantial.
Yeah.
Done by
Lana.
Just some thoughts.
Thanks for those thoughts.
Should take less than 17 years to get it done, though.
Yeah, shouldn't be any problem. Marie-Laure, I note that you're in the queue, but you're not next. So if you want to sit down, I'll call on you. We are running really close to the end, and I see other folks coming in. So we're gonna. I'm gonna ask you to sort of push.
Speed up. Get going.
Push to be brief.
Fire it up. Am I next?
Yeah, you're next.
Great. All right. This is Graham Bunton. Let me echo a lot of the sentiment I'm hearing, especially from Jonathan, about data-driven decision-making is hugely important and something that really does need to become pervasive in the ICANN culture, and I personally would love to see. There's a couple other things that have been floating around that I'll touch on very briefly. One is clearly data is immensely powerful and valuable, and talking about a big open data is probably going to scare some of your contracted parties because that data is valuable. Those are the keys to our kingdom, and so we do need to be extremely careful about how we approach sharing data. That said, sharing data, I think, is going to benefit contracted parties more than it's ever going to hurt them. There's an awful lot of elements within the ICANN community that approach issues with gut instincts, and contracted parties are sitting on mounds of data that frequently, I think, is of the opposite opinion. The other thing that I think is worth pointing out here is that we sort of treat data very abstractly in this conversation, and that's fine, but it's not a panacea for everything. As someone who works with data on a daily basis in a single company, there's lots of it. It's frequently messy, requires huge amounts of efforts, as you were saying, to keep clean and provide in useful fashion, in a timely fashion. And so imagining this sort of pan-ICANN data warehouse where people can dip in and extract that crucial bit, I would say is extremely folly and is a project that would cost billions of dollars and basically never work. And so as we think about moving forward, the idea of injecting this as a process, as a piece of the policy development process in a working group where you start, figure out what data you need, and collect it in a very focused and narrow fashion is something that I can see working for contracted parties and getting you closer to your end result. And it does mean that you're going to have far more narrow data sets available within ICANN, which is great, but you're not going to have this sort of pan database of, you know, every domain and every issue and everything. So, you know, I guess, you know, try and imagine the reality of what that data looks like when you think in these sort of broad terms. Thank you.
Graham's no fun. We're down to the last minute, so I'm actually going to rigidly enforce time limits. Barry, were you going to do wrap-up stuff? You're actually going to do content stuff. Go for it.
So I'll be very brief, and just as Graham said and everybody else, you know, this is a great conversation to have, but I'm going to be kind of a wet blanket here. There is other slides on here that would contain our scope, and our scope is very limited. So while, you know, there is cultural changes that need to happen at ICANN at the macro level and those kinds of things, we are very focused in only how PDPs and working groups function within the GNSO. And certainly we'll be taking a look at internal and external data sources, establishing a framework for how we collaborate with contracted parties to get, you know, to see what types of data may be available, what are the boundaries by which we could ask for that data, and those kinds of things. So definitely very targeted. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Marie-Louis?
Morning. My name is Marie-Laure, Chair of MPOC. I just wanted to remind that greater transparency in handling data leads to greater accountability. So for ICANN, it would be good news if this happens. Thank you.
Jay, you get last word.
All right, thank you. I'm all in favor of open data and the kind of things that's happening. David was talking about happening at GovHack, but I think we need to make that a much later goal. For the moment, we have two very serious constraints when it comes to sharing data. One is the physical size of data. We have terabytes and terabytes of it, you know, and we're at the other end of one cable very far away. You can't get our data. The other one is sovereignty, okay? So what we should be focusing on is access and availability of data to people to do research. So a recommendation I made to the ESAC yesterday was that in their data wars that are going on there about, you know, domain name collision, we need to avoid the position where somebody is making a claim based on a set of data that only they have access to, and they need to ensure that other researchers can access it while maintaining their sovereignty. So that means that the people who are going to do that have to keep... So for example, we have a Hadoop cluster deliberately because that has processing and storage on it, so that if we need to give someone else access to it, then they can use our storage, our processing, we can control what's going on. We don't lose sovereignty and they don't have to try to get huge chunks of data. So I think that's the kind of thing we need to focus on much before we get to the open data bit, because that will be actually a really hard problem to solve, though I do agree it's something I would like solved at some point.
Thanks all. We are right at time, and so let me just wrap this up. For those of you who are interested in the foundational work that I'm referring to, if you go to the DSSA final report, the DNS Security and Stability Analysis Working Group, it's searchable on surely DSSA, but also that longer string. There is a section in that report titled something like The Treatment of Confidential Data. That's not quite right, but there's a whole appendix, and especially for those of you who are treating this correctly as a really important topic, if you could go look at that really hard, because we vetted it pretty well in that working group. We had registries and registrars look at it really hard, but you know, if we find a big hole in that, it's not implemented anywhere, and we can use that as a start. With that, if you could end the recording, and we'll wrap this meeting up. Thank you all for coming. It was fabulous. Great job.
I just want to leave you with one thing, though. Mikey mentioned the chicken and egg conundrum, and I just wanted to let you know that problem, at least, I've solved. It was the egg that came first, because whatever animal laid that egg was not yet a chicken. Right? On the evolutionary path, it was not yet a chicken. So that means the egg came before the chicken.
Oh, God.
An animal that was not quite a chicken yet.